is this inappropriate?
Probably.
Now, when you go to Chemist Warehouse, right?
Chemist Warehouse, yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, I've got a great local chemist that I go to, George, right? But then sometimes I have to go to Chemist Warehouse.
So what you're getting is you're getting more people off on their own browsing.
Yeah.
And then you will hear couples talking about what they're browsing for.
Oh, really?
Well, if you linger. So especially if you're looking for something and you're looking at something that someone's already got in their hand.
Oh, yeah.
Great time to get a, is this work? Does this ointment work on my sore bits? Oh, yeah, it works. Put it on every night.
Bit of advice.
Anyway, I was there and this woman started talking to the attendant. She goes, I need some teeth whitening. The dog ate the last one.
Oh, God. Imagine the dog's teeth.
Imagine the dog going down the park with all the other dogs. Hey, Rover, what? Looking pretty good. What have you done to yourself? I know you had your balls off a while ago, but you're just looking great. Really? He smiles and goes, bring, bring.
Back on the market. What?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Dogs eat toothpaste? They eat anything.
Dogs will eat anything. Dogs will eat their own vomit. What is toothpaste? It's a minty, lolly-like.
Yeah, tasty. Toothpaste can be tasty.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just like listening to it. I think there's a website you can go to, Conversations Overheard on the New York Subway.
Oh, yeah. There are. When we were overseas, we heard some great conversations, and the kids would repeat them. So we were standing in a line in a bakery in France, and this large American woman goes, I'll have not one, but two chocolate croissants. That's two chocolate croissants and two normal croissants. And the guy's like, have you got that? That's two chocolate croissants and two. No, she kept repeating for this. The guy's like, yeah, I speak English. I get it. But the kids love it when you hear something funny.
Yeah, they just fixate.
What I remember my mates telling me that he saw these two guys come out of a hardware shop and one turned the other and went, what the fuck do you know about Errol Dye? What the fuck do you know about Errol Dye?
I walked past two guys going, it one goes the other, yeah, I prefer ham with cheese.
Oh, yes.
I'm going, boy, that's a conversation I want to be a part of.
Conversations are great.
I want to be a part of. Oh, yeah. I had some, you know, I did that or whatever. So, what is it? Where
conversations, when you leave. We went to this pub, right, in, which actually featured, they said on the menu, it featured in one of my favourite movies, The Adventures of Baz and McKenzie, which Barry Humphries wrote and has Barry Crocker in it. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I remember the film. But was it in what country?
It was in England. He goes to England, he meets the Queen.
Yeah.
You know, this pub, I think it was called the King's Head. But anyway, we sat down and this guy was sitting. There was a guy, he looked like a professor type. He was with his wife. And then this guy sat down who was American and he goes, oh, yeah, okay, I'll have the fish and chips, thanks very much. And I prefer something local in terms of beer. Like, what are you drinking, sir? And he goes to the professor. And this professor goes, I'm drinking this. And anyway, they start talking and this guy was fascinating. I was listening to.
So you tuned in.
Oh, yeah. And so the professor goes, what are you doing in England? He goes, well, I'm actually an expert. I'm an expert on Hungarian, Austrian history. And I'm actually currently researching Edward. Now, you remember King Edward, right? King Edward was the one.
Don't know much about Edward.
He left his wife. That was King Edward, wasn't it? He left his wife. He was the one that was friends with the Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
From Edward and...
Yeah, showbiz. Yeah, getting into it over there. Yeah. Like rubbing shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. So he was... and he goes, you know, so... He goes, I was in Austria doing some research. I found out that King Edward actually went on his honeymoon for 3 months to an obscure town in Austria. So I never heard. So I went to the Windsors and I said, can I come and research? And I thought they were going to say no because, you know, I was suggesting he was a Nazi. Mm. But they said, yeah, so I've been up at Windsor Castle. This dude's been, researching at Windsor Castle.
See, you're a bit of a history buff. You would love that.
Oh, I should have stepped in. I was out of my depth with these guys. They were.
You could kind of give it a bit of bushranger stuff.
Yeah. Hey, we're from Australia.
Sure, not as old, but.
I love about Prince Edward. It was Prince Edward, wasn't it? Yeah, and he was the king for like some very short time period of time.
Just before.
Before Hitler.
And what happened when he came back after that? Was he scorned?
Oh, yeah, he was appointed as the ambassador for the Bahamas or somewhere like that. He was sent off to the Bahamas.
Because you reckon Hitler would have said to him, hey, I've got an idea. What do you think about this?
Yeah.
See Poland over there?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
You're going to back me up?
Yeah. Like, whose side are you going to be on?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll have a word. I'll take it home with me.
This academics guy said, the professor asked him, what was the story with Prince Edward? He goes, I just don't think he was very bright. He was very impressionable.
What, the royal family? Not very bright?
What?
What? Ridiculous.
Oh, we should get the music, shouldn't we?
Have we had the music?
No, we have. Here it comes.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Okay, so, we should go to topics.
Our topics.
All right, here we go.
Which are?
KFC and clotheslines.
Hang on. That's, Ooh, I didn't think you'd go woof. I thought you'd go yep.
No,
yep.
I love KFC. But I haven't had it for a long time.
Of all, I don't want to be sued or anything, but of all the takeaways, that's quite fattening, isn't it?
Yeah, but as someone pointed out, at least it looks like food. You know what I mean? If you have a drumstick, it's a drumstick. You know what I mean? Right. So you know it's actually from a chicken. Whereas you get some hamburgers and stuff, you don't know where they're from. But we went through a drive-thru the other day, KFC, with some other comics, and I'm very proud of myself. I didn't have anything.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. But I've got to say, I mean, I always liked KFC, but you know they were pioneers in the chip salt. They were the first. I reckon they were the first to do like a chicken salt. They called it celery salt. Because maybe you get the chips. Okay, you get McDonald's chips, it's just plain salt.
Right.
KFC, even in the 70s, had an interesting salt on their chips.
But wasn't there another one that had... It wasn't
Red Rooster.
Oh, God, you're fast. Yeah. You buzzed in.
Yeah, but KFC were before Red Rooster. They were around before Red Rooster.
KFC,
I remember when KFC started.
Not in what year?
It was the 70s, because my brother worked there.
So you're talking Australia? What about
Australia? I'm talking Australia, when it was introduced into Australia. Because one of the dads at my high school, JR...
Mm-hmm.
Fiona, we used to hang out with these girls. Anyway, Fiona, it was her dad. He was a bit of a character. He was a bit of a wheeler and dealer. He was offered the franchise to KFC in Victoria, and he said his famous quote was, I can't see Australians eating fried chicken.
Mm.
Big mistake.
So the colonel was real, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a real person.
And he was really a colonel?
Yeah, because colonel is like a sir or a madam in the state of Kentucky. I've looked this up.
So he really existed, and he had that little funny beard. And
yeah, and it was and KFC was his idea. But you know KFC, he got to... together with Mormons, and so it's like a Mormon run business, KFC.
Didn't it start in a petrol station?
Yes, God, you know your KFC,
didn't it? But
I thought I was the expert on takeaway.
But hang on, so he's selling petrol, and he's going.
No, I think he just rented out a bit of the bistro section in the roadhouse.
So then he went, and I'll. Now that's interesting. It's called KFC. Mm. Why isn't it called Kentucky Fried Chicken? I know why.
Yeah, F word. It used to
fried,
be called,
fried.
Fried. Fried's a bad word. So they rebranded it in the 90s. Because when we were kids, it was Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
Fried.
And KFC. Now you'd ask some kids, what does KFC stand for? What do they say? Kids Fattening Camp.
Oh, do they?
Can't fucking cook. Anyway, all the big ones. Anyway, KFC.
This is interesting.
Mm.
Do any other fast food people put their food out in a bucket?
Hey, that's a good question. No, I don't reckon that is a trademark.
Now,
sure.
Let's just say we've got a successful product food, right? Mm. We're in a meeting, you and I own it. Yeah. And I turn up at the meeting and I go, here's an idea. Let's present our food in a bucket.
Yeah, I go, that's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea, is it?
It's not a good idea because buckets are associated with swill and wastewater and mops.
You're eating awfully crappy whatever from a...
There must have been a point where they realised that families were buying a lot of chicken and that a bucket is a good thing. There must have been...
That's a very good, very smart sell.
Oh, yeah.
To be able to sell something in a bucket.
Yeah.
That is an offensive item.
Well, now it's retro and cool. You know, I mean, you go to the cricket and they give them out to put on your head. Put a KFC so bucket on your head.
Yeah, retro cool.
Retro cool.
Friend
man.
Of mine, Wilbur Wilde, used to be on a high on Saturday.
Oh, I met him.
Did an ad for KFC with Red Simons. And you know what they got as part of their payment? Guess what they got?
Not a gold card.
A gold card. Oh. So they could go anywhere in Australia, walk in and go.
For how long?
Oh,
forever?
For some time. And it was like, whatever, you just give the card over. And imagine that.
Hughie's got a Hungry Jack's one.
He has not.
Yes.
From
he met Jack from Hungry Jack. There's an actual Jack, an old guy, who owns it.
He met Jack, and Jack said, "Your money's not good here."
But he said the other day, I don't think I've got that card. Did I get that card? Because the guy promised him one. He did a gig for him or something.
But surely if you were working at KFC, you're working at, you know, Hungry Jack's, and someone turned up with a card, you'd go, what's this? There wouldn't be some sign behind the counter that says, if anyone comes in with this
card. Yeah, true. How do they know about the pilot? That's right. It's a good point, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So, is that in their training?
Maybe they've got
a few people would have.
Yeah, maybe the managers will have them. I don't know.
Well, maybe they do, you know, as part of your package.
Do you remember when KFC was introduced in Australia? Because they took over the Red Barn. Remember the Red Barn? That was a takeaway.
Oh, that's a good reference. Because I remember I'm old enough to remember when Hardee's was before McDonald's. Hurry on down to Hardee's where the burgers are barbecued.
Oh, wow. That's
before your time.
Yes, no, I remember that vaguely.
But there was one in Geelong in Victoria. I think there was one in New South Wales. But but the whole idea of going to having an American burger from a barn, which is what McDonald's is, so that would have become, I think, even before KFC. What year was KFC?
My brother worked there in the 70s.
He worked at KFC. So did he wear the paper hat?
Yeah, he worked at Nutterwad in KFC. So we had this whole thing in our house because Dad was because chicken wasn't that popular. It was quite expensive in the 70s to have at home. You know what I mean?
You didn't
have chicken fillets like you have chicken fillets now.
No.
No, you'd have roast chicken occasionally.
Yeah, roast chicken was the only way.
And my dad, when he came back from Vietnam, he got chicken every day on the Air Force Base, and he didn't like it.
Mm. So he associated it with Vietnam.
And he said, no chicken. So we didn't have chicken. Interesting. But then Mark got this job, and he would come home on a Friday night, and he would stand in our doorway. Me and my twin brother would have been 13, 14, and he'd have like a bucket under his arm of cold, you know, KFC leftovers.
Oh, leftovers.
And he'd just say...
They would have those every night, surely.
Oh, and he'd go, do you guys want some chicken? This is like 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, how good would that be?
And then he'd throw it to us and we'd catch it and we'd eat it under the doona.
I reckon that in your movie, that's your credit roll. I reckon that's the final moment in... Yeah.
Do you guys want some chicken? He always had this crazed look on his face because he'd been drinking Pepsi.
Because we had friends that they used to work at one of the bread shops. You can imagine them working at a bread shop. It'd be so, and they'd come home with
a lot of wastage.
And it was but it was almost offensive. You're going, look at this, that's going to be thrown away. But then you're going, one of those is plenty.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have pies and bloody, you know, all sorts of stuff. So is Colonel Sanders still alive?
No.
When did he die? 80s?
I don't know. But they've got, you know, they employ another guy who looks like him to travel the world and promote it. Because he came to Australia.
That's a good gig.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Has Ronald McDonald gone? He doesn't appear anywhere.
He still does a little bit.
Hamburglar doesn't appear anywhere.
Grimace definitely not. But Ronald still occasionally appears.
Oh, does he?
Mm.
And so there's no, but there is a KFC that goes around a Colonel Sanders in the States.
Oh, and in Australia as well. But Ronald, who did the acting in Ronald? It was a guy from Young Doctors played Ronald McDonald. What was his name?
Oh, I did my first scene ever with him.
Oh, really?
On television.
Good-looking guy. Good-looking tall guy. Oh, Sam. Who played Ronald McDonald in Australia? He was a famous...
Yeah, he was in Skyways.
Yeah, Skyways. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Yes. Hang on, find out.
It was Bartholomew John.
Bartholomew John.
Of course, that's it.
I did.
What did you do with Bartholomew John?
That was my first ever scene.
He had a
scene.
Dimpled chin, sort of, didn't
yeah, he? Yeah, yeah. I did a scene in Skyways. Now, this is going back. This is way out of depth, where I was an extra in Skyways. I was in a plane. And
he was a pilot, wasn't he, in Skyways?
I think so, yeah. And
good-looking guy.
I had to do it. I was an extra, and the scene he was doing was with the person in front of me. Hang on. Or behind me. In front of me. Anyway... For the whole, I didn't know until the cameras rolled. I did the whole scene with Bartholomew John's face pressed into, Bartholomew John's ass pressed into my face.
Why?
Because he was leaning over talking to the person in front across the aisle. And
confined space.
Anyway, not
Bartholomew John.
Bartholomew John. Yeah, good gig or bad gig? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway,
probably
KFC
promised a lot.
Oh, so KFC.
Hmm.
Fast food, 1950s, he's dead, fat chicken. Okay, clotheslines.
Clotheslines.
Would that be Hill's Hoist?
I'd say because it's American, it may not be Hills Hoist. But we, when we think of clotheslines, we think of a Hills Hoist. Have you got? You don't have a Hills Hoist. I've got one in my backyard.
Oh, no, you've got one in your backyard. Did I not see it in the sitcom, Dave?
Oh, yeah, it was in there. Yeah. That's my backyard.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Dave did a show about himself in his own backyard.
Yeah, yeah, and that Hills Hoist wasn't there. We got that moved. The builder got it from another house.
And you got put in.
Yeah.
Do you still use it this very day?
Oh, gotcha.
And do you crank it up or just leave it at level?
Crank it up sometimes. It actually works still. Yeah, you crank it up.
And tell me that your kids do swing on it at some stage.
They've been caught swinging on it.
Because if you're swinging close to the middle, it's not too bad. It's when you're swinging out the end.
Oh, yeah, and it bends it and stuff.
Because I went to a chiropractor recently, and he said to me, you've fallen on your bum hardly when you were young.
Yeah.
I reckon I was swinging on the Hills Hoist.
Hills Hoist.
And I've come back and landed on my coccyx. And that's what's given me back problems. Anyway, by the by.
I mean, Hills Hoist, they are a great invention because they're very good
for
drying.
That's an Aussie invention.
South Australian.
That would have gone to the US. Along with the Victor motor mower, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Two great things.
The ute. There's been a few Australian inventions. Yeah, the Hills Hoist, because the builder said, oh, no one wants these anymore. Because, of course...
But they're concreted in, aren't they?
Yeah, got concreted in. But
why didn't you just put a single line out, or one of those ones down the side of the house that cranks out?
I don't know.
The groovy ones.
I don't know. Is that what you got?
Yeah, but the strut broke.
Yeah. See, there you go. Hills Hoist never breaks.
No.
I don't know why we like it, but we've always had one. We had one in our other house too.
We got a drying cabinet.
Oh, you got a drying cabinet?
Yeah. The ducted heating.
Up in the snow.
It's great. Just put the, and you know, we've got a tumble dryer. But I don't like using a tumble dryer.
We can't dry your... Things will shrink in the tumble dryer.
It's correct. So I put my things in a drying cabinet and...
Do you have hydronic heating or...
What do you call it? Ducted.
You have ducted heating.
Hydronic is the... Oh, we talked to someone's house the other day.
I've got hydronic.
Hydronic is water, yeah?
Yeah.
They have a gas version of that.
Yeah, right.
So how does it heat the water to put it in?
Gas heats the water.
So that must be a gas. Theirs must be the same. Theirs must be hydronic. Mm. So it heats water, runs it through the concrete. So you've got hydronic in your house.
Mm. Like radiators everywhere.
Because you've got, what's your house, Victorian?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wouldn't have it out the front. You've got
it in the front too.
You've got
to put in when it was renovated.
Oh, wow. That's a hell of, that's a good buy your place now.
It's sitting on a fortune.
God. It's right near the school and everything.
It's near parkland.
Yeah. Oh, I often
big backyard. You're
down the park just falling asleep.
The park. Yeah, the Hills Hoist. Well, clotheslines, very good invention.
Have you got a peg basket?
Yeah, I got a peg basket. Annoys me when my mother-in-law takes the clothes off and puts all the pegs back in the basket. Just leave them on the line. Don't worry about it.
Cut out the middleman. So you just go...
I think, women of her generation do it because they waste away on the line. You know what I mean? They do perish.
I remember when I was a kid, they were wooden.
There was no peg. Yeah,
that's it was
right.
Just like a two little straighty bits and you just push it down.
How old are you? Did you have a copper washing machine as well or the copper? Your mum used to.
We have wood fire stove at home. Still do. No, we don't.
clothesline is a good invention. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Interesting.
I was hanging up clothes last night.
Okay, here's the thing. Hmm. When you hang, let's just say tea towel, are you going one peg or two pegs?
Two pegs. But my wife has all these arguments with me about.
Really?
You've hung the clothes. Don't leave peg marks on my clothes. I remember a great...
That's true.
I remember a great letter in the Herald Sun said, as much as I do enjoy Katrina Rowntree's reports on Getaway, you can often see the peg marks on her clothes.
What she's doing, she's...
Well, she's travelling.
Travelling. She's getting put in a bit of a...
It is embarrassing
when you... I know that when I go somewhere, I have to take my shirt off and now I've got a T-shirt on and you've got a couple of peg marks on your shoulders. It's really embarrassing.
I told you I had that horrific experience, which I've done in stand-up. I should bring it back, but how I put on a new pair of undies or pajama pants and I sat down and I felt a very sharp pain in my bum. I thought, and immediately I think tumour or ulcer.
Of course, you catastrophise. Yeah.
And then I stood up and it went away. I went, and then I sat down and I came back. It was a clothes peg.
It's like when you buy new shirts and they've got pins on them and you tuck your shirt in and it goes bang. Yeah. But okay, here's an interesting one. Mm. You're pegging the clothes out, right?
Mm.
And you're looking at the number of clothes you got left and you're looking at the number of pegs you got left.
Oh.
What do you do? Do you go two socks to one peg?
Yes. And sometimes hang a sock on a shirt. I sometimes do that.
Oh, that's clever.
And tea towels just go down to one peg.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's going to one peg. Sometimes you go a whole towel down.
Undies, one peg.
Undies, one peg. Yeah.
There's no better feeling when you've got a lot of washing and you feel into the bucket and there's a lot of pegs. Oh.
Yeah. Then you go, okay, I got this covered. But when you're looking at the ratio and you go, I can't do this, it's like climbing Mount Everest. You got to go for the summit.
See, my partner complains about me pegging the clothes inappropriately, doing them wrong. But I know one of my friend's wife used to come home and re-peg all the clothes that he'd hung on the line.
Yeah, control.
They're divorced now.
I sometimes, in my irrational mind, have gone, where are my blue underpants? They're gone.
I stole them.
And I played out. I'm going, someone's stolen my blue underpants.
What's the name for those guys?
Oh, yeah, there are guys who, that's women's underwear.
Yeah, they're not stealing our underwear. They're called honey droppers. What are they called?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
There's a word for the person that steals.
Sam wouldn't know what that was.
Sam, should we ask Sam?
Yes, ask Sam.
Sam, they're called, what are the name of people that steal underwear off the clothesline?
They're called snowdroppers.
Snowdropper. What did I say? Honey dropper. Yeah, snowdropper. There was always one in the neighbourhood. There was always some weird. Someone was stealing girls' underpants and stuff. Some weirdo.
Yeah, I know. I went above and beyond for my mother a few years ago.
She went out and bought undies, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's.
You know what? It's not so bad, but it's when you're standing in the women's underwear department just browsing. It's not a good look.
That's why you've got a female partner.
But I was down in Geelong, in Victoria, and Mum said, can you go and get me some new underpair? And she wants the Bombay Bloomers ones. Wouldn't mind probably going out and buying a G-string or something. I always throw a G-string in just to throw it about a bit, you know.
Going to Geelong to buy a G-banger. A G-banger in G-banger.
So I do say I want some women's underwear, not for me. I'm upfront about that. So just to make it clear, I'm not buying it for... But imagine if you were into a bit of a fetish of putting on women's underwear. And if you are and you're listening, good luck to you.
Yeah. As long as you're not hurting anyone.
You probably get all your stuff online, wouldn't you?
These days, yes. But back in the old days, you'd have to go to bra and things.
You just have to pretend you're buying some underpants.
Someone said that I came up to me on the street and said, I used to love you. Used to do that joke about bra and things, which I can't remember doing.
Mm-hmm.
Where I said, I go into bra and things, and they say, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm just here for the things.
That's a good joke.
It's a good joke, but I can't remember if it's mine or not. I'm just here for the things.
That's a good joke.
Yeah.
So
that's just up there with you going to the $2 shop. You go, excuse me, how much is this? That's a good one. I think that was Matt King used to do that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, 7-Eleven did they do? Why they got locks on the doors?
Why they got locks on the doors?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We should really have some thinking music now.
What should we have? An old KFC ad?
Some old KFC ad.
Hills Hoist ad?
Oh. Remember the Colonel used to do that southern accent? I think he still does the southern accent.
Well, we haven't talked about it. 11 Herbs and Spices.
Yeah.
Is it 11?
Yeah.
Has it ever been revealed?
Well, they've worked it out. They reckon they've worked it out in the lab. Well, so it's just paprika, pepper, black pepper, white pepper, celery salt. You know, it's nothing surprising. So I tell you what, if you put all those herbs together, oregano, if you put them all together, it does taste a bit like KFC, which I've made it before. I've made like a KFC at home, and it does taste very similar to it.
Here's what I don't like. I don't like biting into something that's got bones in it.
Oh yeah.
What is it, flour, the covering?
It's floured and crumbed.
So it's not like.
No, it's battered. It's like a. You
go, put it in your mouth. Like my mother, ate a chicken bone, caught in the middle of it. It went caught across the middle of her throat, right down in the thorax. Is it?
How did they get that out?
She had to go up and get put under.
Oh my god.
And then to chop it out and
it's hideous.
And they to feed it to the cat or something.
I've had an idea.
I won't say it, but we need some thinking music for us to clarify what we're thinking. Okay. What do you want? What ad do you want to go? You want to go old KFC?
I think old KFC. I think we'd enjoy that.
Okay.
There really is a Kentucky Fried Chicken school.
Yep, today we're making the Colonel's original recipe.
What have you learned?
Fresh chicken makes the best chicken.
And that we use 11 herbs and spices.
Oh, but that's the Colonel's secret. And special pressure cooking.
So it's always tender and juicy.
Looks like you've learned to make great chicken.
Only way to serve our customers right.
It's so nice, nice to live. So good about a meal. So good about Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay, I remember the first time I went to the States, one of the fun things for me was watching American ads.
So like going to the country and seeing country ads for tanks and stuff.
Oh, that's
for
great.
Water tanks.
Yeah.
Even Tasmanian ads. We got Tasmanian, even Hobart.
Yeah, when they
funny.
Have a sheep dip. I love a sheep dip
ad. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And often there's fishing tackle ads when you're in, you know, far north Queensland.
What? Do you want to have a crack?
I would like to have a crack. Okay, I'm thinking clotheslines. I'm going to have it. Maybe you can help me here. Clotheslines were invented, the Hills Hoist version, 40s?
Yeah, I reckon earlier.
30s?
I reckon 20s.
20s? No.
I don't know.
Okay, let's just say Hills Hoist, in my scenario, came before. If you're hearing rustling in the background, it's
glasses.
A serial killer getting his glasses out of his serial killer jacket.
I took all intellectual with my glasses. Oh, that's better.
Yep. Sorry. You're not cheating, are you? You're not like one of those trivia people that looks up. When you have a trivia night and people go have a little thing under the table. And you don't have
story
a little peek there
on
your phone, are you?
I can tell you about that. Me
too. Because I was at one night and a judge was doing it. And the trivia guy said, hey, you. And he goes, at the end of the night, he goes, how dare you say I was cheating? It's like, I don't care. You were using your phone. You were cheating. It's a rule. Anyway.
One of my friends hosted a night at a very posh school, right? And he turns up in the car park and the school captain meets him, who's a girl, with her mum. Anyway, they're talking and this woman starts bagging the ABC because this guy was on the ABC occasionally. And he goes, and the woman kept saying, we don't like the ABC here. And he goes, who's we? Is it you and your husband? She goes, oh, don't mention my husband. And then he goes, oh, that's a bit weird. He goes inside, right, and the school captain gets up and sings a song at the start of the night, this girl, very good.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, that's fantastic. You must be very proud. Oh, I bet your mum, where's your dad? And this guy puts up his hand, Andrew Bolt.
Oh.
Anyway, he hosts his trivia night, right? And then Andrew Bolt, the guy with Andrew Bolt, one of his mates, is using his phone, and people are yelling, he's using his phone, he's using his phone.
Mm.
So my mate grabs his phone as a joke, right, and puts it in his pocket.
Mm.
Right. Okay, and then he gives it back to him, right, in the break. But anyway, my friend goes up in the break to grab his phone, and it's gone. His phone's gone because he uses his phone to ask some of the questions and stuff.
Yeah.
So he has to make the announcement. He goes, sorry, everyone, this is very embarrassing, but my phone's gone. And Andrew Bolt's mate goes, yeah, how did you like it? And throws it at him. He'd stolen his phone.
Oh. How inappropriate.
Good
times. It's funny when people are competitive, what it brings out in them.
Oh, horrible. Trivia nights are horrible. I hosted one for the Western Suburbs Greens of Melbourne. I said to my wife as I walked in at midnight, remind me, never again.
Because they get fired up too much?
That's not right. Oh, the answers were wrong too. What does NASA stand for?
What?
And people were getting stuff faxed to the hall, and this was before smartphones. Oh, it was horrible.
Hmm.
Still traumatised. So what's your I don't know.
Okay, this is a shot in the dark, but I reckon it's pretty good. I reckon KFC has seen the Hills Hoist and has gone, hang on, there's the rotisserie.
Oh.
How about we put the chicken on like a flat, like a horizontal one, and it goes around that way, and then you can just pick the chicken off as it comes around. I haven't been to the kitchen of a KFC. I don't know, but it has to be a pretty good guess because you're thinking, how do they cook that chicken? It's not on a it's fried though, isn't it? Maybe they keep it warm like that. I think I'm barking up the wrong tree.
All right. Oh, KFC and clotheslines. I reckon the Colonel, because I reckon he was a bit of a goer in terms of inventing stuff.
Oh, he's had a crack at something.
I reckon he invented a clothesline.
Like the Hills Hoist.
Like the Hills Hoist, but an American version. He was the first one to bring the pull-out.
What's the pull-out? Oh, the pull-out.
Maybe that was the Colonel's idea. Oh, I'm struggling. I don't know. Sam, what is the answer?
Winston L. Shelton, an inventor and engineer, was employed by KFC to invent something to keep the chicken hot, moist and crisp after cooking. Salt could be served quickly. The result was the CVAP, which stands for controlled vapor. It's the box you still see today in KFC restaurants where all the chicken is kept after cooking. He came up with the idea for the CVAP by hanging pork chops on a clothesline at his house.
Imagine looking over his back fence. Hey, Dale, what? He's looking over the back fence.
Pork chops hanging off the line.
Oh, he's nuts. He's crazy. Not closed, no. He's got pork chops hanging up there.
He's an inventor. What are you inventing now, Winston?
Hey, don't you worry about it. Hey, what are you looking at?
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
There you go, you fucking idiot. You're chopping enough.
I know.
The sausages up there.
I know exactly what CVAP is. I've seen it because my brother worked there. They had them. CVAP. And they still use it today in restaurants and McDonald's. They use them everywhere.
So it's an oven.
It's like an oven.
With moisture.
Yes. Yes. And he obviously got that way with using pork chops on the washing
line.
But
how did he conclude that from, would he put them out there on a humid day?
Yeah.
What? But what made him put them out there in the first place?
Was they question the inventor?
Hey, where are you going, darling? Just going out the back with some pork chops. Don't you worry.
Hang him on the clothesline.
Oh, God, he's gone off.
What a genius.
So it had something to do with humidity and chops and being outside.
Yeah.
And then
the moisture.
The moisture kept it fresh. Mm. Oh, well, good on him. It's worked. You can't argue with KFC.
No.
And, you know.
I wonder how much money he would have made out of that. Like, does he get a kickback?
And does he need to give any kickback to Hills Hoist or to whoever it came from?
Oh, the clothesline, yeah.
Yeah, you're going, hang on, buddy. Wait a second. I think I'm part of it. Well, probably not. It was just a function, really.
It's a very, yeah.
You know. But, you know, next time you're getting KFC, right?
Think
and you're
about
standing there ordering and you're waiting, maybe tell that story to the girl there. Yeah.
Tell them the teenager serving you.
Yeah.
You know that steel cabinet behind you? That was invented by Thingo Shelton, and he got to that point from, are you calling security?
They put a bucket on your head and take you outside.
Anyway. Aren't you, though? We're both at that age, though. Where
what are you about to say?
Where we, where you talk to, say, the girls in Baker's Delight or the girls in the fruit shop, and you have to be careful, don't you? Because you don't want to come across as being a creepy old guy, don't you? Do you think so?
Yes, you do. You have to keep it because creepy guys have given us all a bad name.
Oh, they have.
It's like, come on, I really just want to have a chat and say, how are you going? And it does cross your mind.
Yeah.
That you go, those creepy guys, they use any opportunity to be creepy.
But don't you love having a connection with some of those people?
I do. I love making connections with checkout whether it's guys or girls.
Yeah.
You just have a moment. You go, how's your day? And sometimes I go, that's a good feeling. Oh, that's all right. Let's have a chat.
Mm.
Have a bit of a chat. It all happens within, it's a limited time.
It is.
Because you've got to get your stuff and you've got to move on.
They're stuck behind the counter. They can't escape.
I usually open with those because sometimes I'll take a Coles bag into a Woolworths.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's a bit of a talking point. I go,
sorry about this. Is this okay?
Is this okay? You're going to call security. Okay? Go, oh, no, that's all right. And they do that thing where they go, shook, shook, and open it up and then put it. I can never put it on the rack very well.
I love following a angry customer and I always just go, what was wrong with that fuckhead? And they love it because they can't say it.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't say it, but, you know, you get a bit of that sort of stuff going on.
And you can check products and you can say, is this any good? You had one of those? And they go, no, I'll tell you what is good. And they give you the inside running.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually followed round. The girl.
Speaking of creepy. Yeah, go on.
I followed round the girl with the Red Spot Special gun.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going, are you the Red Spot Special? She goes, yeah. She goes, how much do you want that for? I go, $1.50. She goes, click, click, click. There you go.
Whoa. The power of that gun.
It was great. Maybe I made up that part about I asked the price, but I said, can you mark that one down? She
goes, still impressive.
Yeah, still very impressive.
I occasionally wear band T-shirts, and sometimes with the young people, we have a connection. One day I was wearing, was it the Sunny Boys or Devo? It was one of them, one of those two. Anyway, and she goes, oh, my God, do you like Devo? I'm like, yeah. She goes, were you at the concert? I went, yeah. She goes, yeah, my dad loves them.
Yeah, that's right. So you quickly move on at that point, do you?
Yeah, I'm sure your dad's a great bloke.
Mm.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.